Welcome back to The Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You can take this job and shove it. Well, maybe not all of us have that kind of aggressive attitude about quitting our jobs, but it's not unusual for those who have been working a gig for a while to think about moving on. So how do you know when it's time? What are the signs you may see on the job and perhaps in your head? Well, joining me to talk about this are Cecil Johnson, head of talent development with North America, Johnson & Johnson, and Camila Smith, workforce strategy expert and senior manager at Deloitte Consulting. If you're thinking about quitting your job or moving on, making a change, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Camila, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Cecil, thank you for joining as well.
Thank you, Harold. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, Cecil, let me start with you with a coronavirus vaccine update. What do you want to tell us? I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
Don't get me in trouble.
Yeah, I know. I want you to keep your job, right?
We want everyone to get vaccinated as soon as they can.
There you go. That's the official word. I saw you were from Johnson & Johnson, and I said, the news person in me had to ask, but thank you.
That's all right.
So let me start with you, though, seriously. Is this the time for a person to quit their job? I mean, the report just coming out this morning, almost 800,000 people applied for unemployment since last month. That's a lot of people. Is this the time to do that?
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point. Here's my view, and I think that, and I know that there are people getting jobs right now. There are people leveling up right now. And if you are smart about it and strategic about it, it is time, if you have the conditions right, to move on. You know, I like to think of, and I did my graduate work on this, that I like to think of your job or your employer as if you're in a relationship with someone.
Oh.
Right? And one of the things that when you know it's time is when the expectations are misaligned, right? And the relationships are about expectations. And when your expectations aren't aligned with your partner's, then it's time to ask some hard questions and should I be here?
Mm.
And I think that that's an important part. But I will tell you that there are, unfortunately, so many people out there who do not have jobs. I also know quite a few people out there who are leveling up and are getting jobs. So if you have the right conditions and it's time to move, then you got to move.
What do you think about that, Camila, when you talk about thinking about your job as a relationship? This is Valentine's Day weekend. Maybe not the best time to break up with your job.
I know, right? I need the budget for the date night. No, I would agree 100% with Cecil in that, you know, this is an opportunity for people to really think about how do I reskill? How do I level up? How do I take advantage of trying out maybe a new industry or a new type of role that I've been kind of noodling on, but I'm not really sure if I have like the courage or the opportunity or access to do it. And so I would encourage everyone to peel back the layers of that data point around 800,000 people filing for unemployment and really say, what are the type or what is the profile of the people who are filing for unemployment, and what are the difference makers or differentiators for those who are constantly being sought after from a skills perspective in the marketplace? I would say that I was talking with someone at my company, and we were talking about the fact that there is a huge untapped market right now. There's huge competition for smart people who are willing to learn new things, level up, and reset so that they can help bring organizations, I think, into the future. So I agree 100%.
How do you know that it's time, Cecil? What are the signs? Are there signs on the job and in your head? Tell me about that.
Yeah, first I'll give you a sign on the job. Let me go back to the relationship. And I like Camille already because she agreed with me, right? So I always like to agree with her. Here is one sign, is when you can't agree on what the future looks like together. And what happens is that as an employee, you're talking about moving up the ladder to be a manager, director, vice president, and the company, your manager, your manager's manager, they aren't talking to you about your future in those terms. They're talking to you about your future in terms of staying right where you are, and you're not satisfied with that. So that's one sign that we have a misalignment around what our future looks like together. The other sign, and this is the one that's in your head, is that when something has happened at work that has hurt you, right, where you feel betrayed, that you feel denied, and you've done what you can to reconcile that, and you can't get over it. And it is impacting what you do on a daily basis, then I think it's the time for you to really think hard about, is this the right place for me? And I put the asterisk on that, is that you have to have a plan, though.
Fascinating. Yeah. Wow. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Are you thinking about quitting your job, moving on, making a change with your employment situation? How do you know that it's the right thing to do, particularly right now? What are the signs? If you have a comment, if you have a question about moving on, quitting your job, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let me grab a quick phone call about this. This is really interesting to me. Derek, calling from Bowie. What's on your mind?
I'm getting ready to retire from the military.
Okay. How long have you been in?
22 years.
All right. So what is behind your decision besides longevity?
I'm looking at becoming either a paralegal or cybersecurity. I'm changing from being a mechanic. I've looked at the positions that's out in the civilian world now. There's, for my skill set, I'd be taking a serious pay cut going into auto mechanics unless I'm opening my own shop.
Mm. What do you think about that, Camila? What are you hearing? What do you want to ask him?
Yeah, so the first thing I would ask is, why are you thinking about going to being a paralegal or cybersecurity? What is driving that direction?
I've looked at several large firms as far as law firms, and one of the helping steps to becoming a lawyer is starting off as a paralegal, so you start to learn the law for what type of firm that you're going to apply to. And as far as cybersecurity, I've been looking at the job market. There's tens of thousands of cybersecurity jobs open right now. There's at least 7,000 in the D.C. area that are sitting open right now. And with my military background, as far as security clearance and all, that already puts me available for at least 4,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I need that. I need the certificate to say that I'm actually qualified for those security jobs already.
Right.
My clearance and stuff will travel with me, and my company won't have to pay, instead of $25,000, maybe $4,000, to keep my clearance active for my transition.
Mm. See, so
I figured that's something that's valuable for me leaving from the military, going into the private sector.
Cecil, any thoughts? What are you hearing with Derek?
So So what I'm hearing is that you've done some research, which I wish so many more people did. You've already identified why you want to go. Also identified what's out there, what's available, and you've already conveyed a benefit to the company for hiring you or organization for hiring you compared to someone else, because you already started off by talking about how they are going to save money, you know, with the assumption that you would do a good job. I'm impressed that you've been able to identify where you might want to go and what is available. I do have a question, which is, and if you said this, then I apologize, is that, so what is it about that space that really excites you?
Did you hear that, Derek?
I heard it, and the main thing is both fields is where I can affect change. Being in the paralegal, I can affect change with law. I can help with my opinions and stuff to help affect change with laws. And with cybersecurity, I can change my neighborhood demographic by teaching other young kids there's something other if they're not able to be successful with sports or in the entertainment industry. There's something else for them to do other than to hang out on the street corners. I prefer to do that by example.
Real quick, Derek, before I let you go, you said cybersecurity or paralegal, but you mentioned being a paralegal could be the next step to being a lawyer. So do you want to be a lawyer? Do you want to go into cybersecurity? Do you want to be a cybersecurity lawyer? Or do you want to be help me with that.
Both of those are areas that are in need, that I see in need, and I want to be somewhere where I'm needed so I can see that I'm appreciated.
I see. Okay. Well, Derek, thank you so much. Good luck to you. I appreciate it. Real quick, Camille, I just wanted to ask you about that. How important is focus about that? It seems that Derek has two fields that he's interested in. Am I wrong to think that you need to make a decision beforehand, or, you know, he's retiring, so after 22 years in the military, you know, most of the folks who retire from the military, they have a couple of quarters where it may give them a little cushion to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it's very important to be hyper-focused on what your goal is. And not necessarily, so it's going to be unrealistic for me to say, don't be driven by income or earning potential if you're long-term goals are about driving large-scale change in your community or being an agent of change from a law perspective, from an advocacy perspective. But if compensation and value, right, is very important to you in thinking about how you're hyper-focused on your end game, then you also need to take the necessary steps to understand, how can I close that compensation gap that might be a little bit wider than anticipated or expected in the first couple of years of reskilling myself as I move into a new career? So instead of what does it take to be an entry-level cybersecurity professional with a clearance, think about What are the people in cybersecurity doing from an experience, education, externship or internship perspective that, or certification perspective that closes that gap and gets him closer to where he wants to be from an income perspective?
Here you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Thinking about quitting your job? Don't do it until you hear from our experts tonight. How do you know if it's the right thing to do? How do you know if maybe you need to hold off from doing it? Alvin, real quick, you're calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, I quit my job.
Okay.
I was with Audi. And Volkswagen, you know, I'm a master technician. So
I pretty much just quit my job after being there from 1986 till July of last year, 2020. And I guess what maybe made the change, I guess I reached a plateau in my life where I just didn't, it's not that I didn't like my career, it's just, I guess I just reached a point that it seemed like it was going nowhere after all these years, yeah. But due to the COVID and the dealer getting very, very slow, I turned around and started delivering mail. And I actually make more money delivering mail than I did working on cars.
Mm.
I say cleaner.
Are you happier?
Say it again.
Are you happier now? Are you satisfied?
I'm happier. The only thing that I guess bothers me at this point is after being at the post office in the 9 months time, the weight loss that I have from delivering the mail is unbelievable.
A lot of folks would like to have that problem, Alvin.
I would like that. I went from 240 pounds to 151 pounds.
Wow.
And it's not like I'm not eating. I mean, I can eat and eat and eat and eat, and it's like I'm only preparing myself to eat to burn it off and some.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely another issue that you should address, health and wellness. Alvin, I want you to stay on the line as I go into this break, because I want to hear what our experts have to say about that also. Dan from D.C., you're thinking about it. Well, think about holding on, because we're going to talk to you as well. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Thinking about quitting your job? Don't do it quite yet. You want to hear this. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, channel 141, or on 96.3 HD2. Don't forget, you can download the app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. I'm Harold Fisher. This discussion continues on SiriusXM and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about quitting your job. How do you know when you should or should not? My guests are Cecil Johnson, head of talent development with North America, Johnson & Johnson, and Camila Smith, workforce strategy expert and senior manager at Deloitte Consulting. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, Camila, Alvin, he quit his job. He was working for Audi for 34 years. I did the math. He is now delivering mail, loves the job, but has lost weight. Health issues aside, I mean, certainly that's a lot of weight, but should that be a consideration on the job that he's working on right now? And beyond that, what else should he consider? He's only been there for 9 months.
Absolutely. I would say that if your job is creating physical stress or creating an environment where you cannot be mentally or physically well, then it's time to leave your job. Now, for me, I would love to lose, you know, almost 100 pounds doing something that I enjoy doing. But on the flip side, you know, if you're doing work where as you are getting older or as you're thinking about, as your lifestyle permits, you see that your joints are getting a little bit more painful, or you're seeing your muscles atrophy, or you're just really weary at the end of the day, then I would say it is time to rethink the relationship, to go back to Cecil's analogy or metaphor, the relationship that you have with your job. It's like, if your spouse is being abusive to you and causing you bodily harm, then it's time to leave your spouse. And you should take that very same approach when it comes to your job. And I would, you know, go back to the point on as mental health and mental wellness as well. If your spouse or your job is being psychologically abusive, you come home every night thinking, I can't deal with these people anymore. I can't deal with my customers, or I'm struggling here mentally, then it's time to rethink your relationship with your job.
Mm. Real quick, Cecil, your thoughts about what Alvin has shared with us?
Yeah, I want to align with what Camilla said, and I just want to add a couple more dimensions. So I think that when it comes to that health, he should really focus on making sure that he's in alignment in the way that he's physically energized, that he's emotionally connected, that he's mentally focused, and that he's spiritually aligned. Mm. So physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health, those dimensions will take him where he needs to go with regards to his work or whatever endeavor he's trying to focus on.
Okay. Alvin, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dan, calling from D.C. Dan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Dan, are you there? Did we lose him? Okay, Dan, give us a call back if you can. So, Cecil, if you are thinking about quitting your job, should you talk to your boss about it before you make a decision, or is that something that you need to keep to yourself until you hand in your notice?
Now, here is what I would say. I think you need to talk to your boss, but you don't need to say, I'm thinking about quitting my job. Again, I'm not, you know, different strokes for different folks. But if it's me, I'm talking about what's missing in my job or what's missing in my experience at work and how we can work together to fill in those gaps so that we both can have what we need to get out of me and I can get out of the workplace at work. So I would start with talking about what I need on the job in order for me to be my whole self, to be fulfilled and give the organization all that it can. I would not go in and say, so you know, Dave, I'm thinking about quitting. And I just wanted to have a conversation with you, right? So, but I think it's the elements that are missing that are making you think those things that I think are important. Because it is tough for a manager. When someone says, I'm ready to quit, then that, and Camilla probably has more of the research on that. It's probably perceived as a threat to some degree, depending on the relationship that you have with your boss. And I'm not sure if it's the best way to get at a solution, because you never know what your boss has. And what I have found in my experience is that sometimes there's a miscommunication around goals. And I know individuals who had really thought about quitting and didn't realize that the organization or their boss was just very poor at communicating how valuable they thought they were and the plans that they had for them in the future.
Mm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Camilla.
I agree with that. Just to pile on, I think this idea of expectations, right? Defining expectations, articulating expectations, and then engaging in a relationship with your employer, your job, where you understand how much they value you. And value, we like to talk about from a compensation perspective or a reward and recognition perspective, but sometimes it's really, in going back to a point that was made earlier, about what is the journey for the future that we're on together. And where do you see me in that journey? What do you think my role is in getting us to the desired outcome? And so not having proactive conversations about expectations, value, and journey will cause you to say, I need to go find another place where they will embrace me, support me, surround me, and sponsor me, versus you saying proactively to your boss or your boss's boss or another influencer in an organization, I'm feeling restless. I don't know if I have a place here. I'm not quite sure where I'm going. I don't know if I'm even doing really good work that makes me viewed as a difference maker. And so maybe it's time for me to rethink where I need to be. So that is, I think, what, just like Cecil said, the thing that you need to think about with those conversations.
Mm. So, Camila, what if instead of talking to your boss about it, you say, and you may not have anything definitive yet, and you may have the wherewithal, such as the guy who was in the military that we spoke to earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you hand in your 2 weeks' notice and then your boss comes running to you and wants to keep you, even after you've kind of made that decision, and then they throw money at you or what have you, how do you enter a conversation when the boss says something, well, we really want to keep you, and that gives you all kinds of pause as to whether or not you're ready to leave, even if you've not accepted a position somewhere else?
Right. I think there are two schools of thought, and I am still kind of going between the two. So I'll give the perspectives. The first is, if you've made a decision to go out, interview, get another job offer, and you're going to put in your notice, then the research says don't try and use that notice to negotiate your retention at the organization, because more often than not, you will leave within a year after, you know, your job either matches or exceeds or makes certain commitments to you. So making a purely money play does not necessarily scratch the itch or fill the gap that caused you to start looking to go elsewhere. That being said, I know plenty of people who have gone out. They have heard, because the LinkedIn grapevine is just so great, a headhunter reaches out to you and says, I have this wonderful opportunity for life-changing money, and you are open to it and you get an offer, but you're not really sure if you want to leave. It is okay to say to your boss, I have this offer, but this is my home and I want to stay. How can we make it happen? So I think you have to know your own personal story and journey to say, listen, it wasn't just comp that caused me to go out and look. It was all of these other factors. And I know that staying is not really going to fill those gaps or remove those issues, versus someone who just happens to be casually entertaining opportunities and then finding out your monetary worth, but knowing that you really want to stay because you've got a home and sponsorship. You know, it could go either way. I would just say, once you figure out the direction you want to go, stay the course and be okay with the decision once you've made it.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about quitting your job or not. How do you make a decision about that? When do you know that it's time to go? So what about outgrowing the job? You may like it. You may be able to do it with one arm tied behind your back, left brain, right brain tied behind your back, Cecil. But if you felt that you've outgrown it, but you aren't unhappy, what should be your thought process? You like the job. You're not losing 100 pounds doing the job. The money's fine, but maybe you're bored. Is that a reason to think about leaving or coasting?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And there's a couple points I want to make about that. That is, I don't think you have to settle for a job. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you should want an experience, right? And coasting, at least for me, is not an option. And I know it's tough because it's easy to rationalize, look, it's paying my bills, you know, I don't need an experience at my job. I can get stuff. I can get experience other places. And my argument is that, so you're going to spend at least half of your waking hours of your life preparing for work and doing work just for money? Like, you can do a lot, right? Like, I mean, I get it, but it's like, there's so much more that you can do with that time. And if you are growing faster than the job and bigger than the organization, then there's an opportunity for you to think about, there's probably a bigger playing field and I'm feeling restless that I need to move to. This container I am is constricting and I'm not being fulfilled. I may be okay, I'm content, but, you know, as my father would say, life is short. And if you find that you want to impact the world in a different way and this organization just can't do it for you, no hard feelings. It's just not the place that you need to be. Now, again, with what we talked about before, but find that other job before you say goodbye, right? Like, before you do that. Find another job before you say goodbye, but at least identify what's missing and be sure. And this is one thing that I did want to make a point about, is that you can quit your job and still stay with the organization unless the organization only has one job for you. So let's open our eyes, our aperture, and let's take a look at what else is available in the organization, because often we're only thinking about one space and haven't explored fully what's available.
I like that.
Can I add something here?
Sure.
That was brilliant. And I would just add that we need to stop talking about, at some point, a job is the thing that pays you so that you can pay your bills, right? A career is what you do when you are realizing your full potential and playing to your strengths in a position that gives you energy, that you are invested in building, in upskilling yourself and getting additional experiences and consuming your every day so that you can continue to grow. And so I would say that, you know, going from job to job is a compensation play so that you can have housing and all the other, you know, nice things. But we probably need to elevate the conversation to talk about how do you grow your career, which is a slightly more nuanced conversation.
Wow. Yeah, that's, I'm sure it is. I guess when you, so... Oh boy, I'm about to throw you a curve, Camila. I think you make an excellent point about job versus versus career, and there are things that, you know, within the parentheses or the brackets of a career. What do you do from your position as a manager, and I want Cecil to also answer this. What do you say to someone who's always looking for the next job within the career? Is that a generational thing? I have a friend of mine. She's 35 years old, and she left a job 2 years ago to another job within the same organization, but within 6 months, she was saying, I really want to find yet a new job. Is that the job? Is that the career? Is that her? How do you address someone who always seems to be looking for a new job? And from my perspective, I don't know if it's a new job or you're just looking for the next best thing. What's the difference?
Right. I think that is a loaded question, right? I'll acknowledge that. And I'll say that I have multiple perspectives on it, right? The first perspective is, gone is the paradigm that we operate under that says that I'm going to spend 30 years at one job, progressing every few years, getting promotions, and then getting a gold watch and a nice retirement and maybe a pension at the end of that relationship with that organization or company. the multi-generational workforce right now is saying that I, on average, want to spend anywhere from 3 to 5 years, and I actually think that time has shortened, but 3 to 5 years at any one company. Not even talking about 3 to 5 years at any one, in any one role. And so I think it's the current mindset to say, if I stay in a position too long, I will start to stagnate and I'm going to have that fear of missing out. Or I know that as I hop around or get these different experiences, I am going to rapidly accelerate getting and developing new skills to add to my toolkit and my arsenal. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. I work in professional services. I work in consulting. So I have a new job every 6 to 8 months, which is why I love my job. I think if I had been in industry, I probably would have jumped around every 1 to 2 years because I just thrive off of doing something different and reinventing myself as my career grows. But then there are people who, coming out of college, they selected an undergrad degree or a master's degree that really wasn't something that they wanted to do. And because of that, they feel unsettled and they can't get their footing in the career that they think that they've hung their hat on. And until they take some time to reflect, maybe do some career coaching, some job skills assessments, things like that, to see what actually they're good at and what they'd like to do, then I think they're going to constantly have that sense of wanderlust and FOMO for what could have been.
Mm. So, Cecil, piggybacking on that same question, and I think you're in an interesting position, you are in talent development and you play with the big boys and the big girls. So it's one thing for you to pluck someone and throw them, rainbows and Captain Crunch and stuff like that and say, hey, we're going to. But when you, from your position, do you look at things differently from someone who is just jumping around without making any upwardly mobile process, if they're always making lateral moves, as opposed to someone who, when you saw them 5 years ago, they were a project manager, and then you checked on them 3 years ago, and now they're a director, and now you're ready to give them a VP and put that in front of your name. Is there a difference between that and lateral moving?
Well, let me I thought Camilla said some really great things, and one of the things that she said or that I took from was that I want to know what your strategy is. Right? What's the plan? Help me understand what you're putting together. Help me understand the assets that you're putting together. And then I want to hear your story. Tell me the story as to why you did what you did and doing the things that you do. And that helps me understand the rationale and that you're critically thinking about that versus what you're doing versus just kind of hopping job to job. I don't think there's anything wrong with being, I would say, restless, but I want to know what that plan is. The other thing is that if it's within the organization, the question I would ask is, what does your organization's culture say about how you're going about doing what you're doing? Is it what everybody does? So Camilla talked about her culture and consulting. And if you're in tech, look, you're in tech, you're moving quite a bit. You're moving fast, right? You're moving, you're jumping companies, right? Depending, you go to startup, it makes it, it doesn't, you move on. It's expected. You come to pharma, you're not jumping every 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to really understand the landscape in which you're trying to play in and what they require for you to not necessarily just prove that you are able to do something, but that you have some level of receipts to say that I can do what I can do. And I go back to what is the plan? What's the strategy? What's the story that you're telling about yourself? And how intentional are you about that?
Hmm. So when do you know that maybe it's we've spoken about the things that suggest that you should move. What about if you're thinking about quitting, what are the signs that maybe you should stay where you are? Camille, I'll start with you.
So for me, the number one thing that you cannot discount or downplay is active sponsorship in your organization.
What does that mean?
And sponsorship is different from mentorship. Mentorship is when you go to a peer, a colleague, maybe someone you work for who provides you with advice about your career, maybe gives you is a shoulder to cry on or a listening ear. A sponsor is a leader in the organization and an influencer in the organization who has chosen to shepherd your career and provide you with access to difference-making opportunities, right? They are the table pounder behind closed doors to make sure that your career, and as Cecil said, your career strategy is being executed and implemented. So you cannot necessarily discount the value in your organization of a sponsor who is really coaching, guiding, and opening doors in your career. And then I think the second piece is you have to differentiate between I'm tired and I need to take some vacation time and apply some boundaries with my team members and the people I work with versus this job is exceptionally toxic and killing me slowly day by day. Right? So if you're tired, if you are doing a poor job of setting boundaries, then let's have a conversation about that so that we can make you this job not work for you, but a place where you thrive. And so those are, for me, are the two first things where I'm like, yes, this is the secret sauce to why I should stay versus me saying, you know, it's time to go because I'm just tired every day and I don't know who to talk to about it.
Same question for you, Cecil. If you're thinking about leaving, how do you know that maybe it's just not the right time? If you're looking to move up and move on, but you know, what should you think about staying?
Yeah, so I'm gonna say this, and I mean it sincerely, even though we talked about it earlier. When's not a right time? It might not be a right time when there's an existential threat, say like a virus that totally upends the employment landscape. I'm not saying that you should necessarily default and say, but you should think twice about that, right? At least have some pause, right? So we kind of talked about that earlier, even though there is opportunity there. The other thing is that I loved what Camilla said around sponsorship, active sponsorship, and signs to stay is when you are able to identify multiple layers of support. And that your network is beyond your boss. And you recognize that there are multiple options for you within the organization for you to be successful. And maybe you just haven't explored those and it's just not in the space you are right now. And you can identify that this organization that I'm in has the right values. Generally, I like the people. I like the pay, and I see fulfillment in what I do, and I see other options that I have the opportunity to explore. Mm-hmm. And what I find sometimes is that individuals just don't explore all those options, and they don't, and I love what Camille said about sponsorship, they don't activate their sponsors or maybe their advocates and have those heart-to-heart conversations about being able to thrive in the environment they're in.
So here's something, and I think this has to do with something that may happen suddenly. There, in the news over the past several months, we've seen some CEOs who've been forced out because of activity that they should not have been involved in. And I'll say this, and I'll ask Camila this. If the head of your company is championing you, but then is forced out, gets fired because he or she is doing something that they ought not to do, that may be problematic for the company, and you're doing your job and doing, you know, how do you, should you think about leaving, Camila?
So brand and reputation, especially in a corporate environment, are everything. And so there's the right answer and the realistic answer, right? And so you should not...
Let's just keep it real right now in this last minute. Go right ahead.
I would say the realistic answer is I hope that the leader is not the only sponsor that you have and that you're doing what you can to intentionally develop deep networks, deep and influential networks, so that you have the coverage that you need. If you don't, and you hang your hat on one person, then I think you're not being strategic, as Cecil said. You have to be strategic not only about your upskilling, your education, the moves that you're going to make, but also the connections that you maintain for your thriving in your organization.
I think that's a good place to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you for sharing your expertise. Cecil, thank you for your sense of humor in the beginning of the program.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Cecil Johnson, Camila Smith, I really appreciate your time. You all be safe now.
Thank you.
That Goodbye. Is the Daily Drama on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, February 11th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.